As you think about the manger scene, Mary holding the newborn baby and looking into the face of the child. I'm sure all of you, if you've held a newborn baby and just glanced down at the child in your arms, Mary, knowing what she knew about how Jesus was conceived, I'm sure the things of earth grew strangely dim in that moment. So she would turn her eyes upon Jesus. On this second Sunday of Advent, Pastor Chris and I are continuing to consider why a little hamlet, little village like Bethlehem would be the place God would choose to enter this world as a baby. You know, refresh your memory a little bit. Bethlehem was a small place. It's estimated to only be about 300 people at the time of Christ. So if you combined all three of our worship services, be about the same as what we have coming here to church. Not a lot of people. Everybody would have kind of known, at least known about everybody. And probably they estimate maybe only 6 or 7 children under 1 year of age or younger at that point in time. The first mention of Bethlehem is when Jacob and Leah and Rachel, the family, are moving, and Rachel gives birth to Benjamin. She dies in childbirth, and she's buried near Bethlehem in Bethlehem Ephrathah. And so Bethlehem itself, historically for the people, holds kind of a sense of grief and stigma of pain surrounding it as he lost the wife that he loved so dearly there. So last week, Pastor Chris shared with you about another story that was set within Bethlehem, and that was the story of Ruth. And how Ruth, being the wife of one of the sons of Naomi and Elimelech, came back with Naomi. And they found themselves basically in God's welfare system as paupers. Their property had been mortgaged and sold before they left because of hardships. But then they encountered a man named Boaz, who was a kinsman redeemer, and gave them hope as he found favor with Ruth and wanted to marry Ruth. And so he redeemed the property, not to get the property, but to get Ruth. There was another one that was closer that would redeem it just for the property, but he didn't want Ruth. But there was a kinsman redeemer that loved her so much that he would pay the price to redeem her. Well, there's another story in the Old Testament that centers around Bethlehem. And this one's probably during the time of David, when he was fleeing from King Saul and hiding in the cave of Adullam. And it's another story that gives us some insight why God would choose Bethlehem for the place for his son to be born. So let's look at that scripture found in 2 Samuel chapter 23. During harvest time, 3 of the 30 chief warriors came down to David at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And at that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. And David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So the 3 mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "Far be it from me, Lord, to do this," he said. "Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives?" And David would not drink it. And such were the exploits of the 3 mighty warriors. The word of God for the people of God. I think all of you can look back on moments and memories and recall things from your past that you cherish or you remember. You know, I do that sometimes. I look back at pictures of my grandfather's house. That's where my father grew up. And it stood in disrepair and bad shape for years after he had died and passed on, and it wasn't cared for much by those who took over the property. And then at one point it was destroyed by fire, probably when I was maybe in middle school. But the last time I was in it, I was probably 5 or 6 years of age. But I still recall certain things about that house, kind of how some of the rooms were laid out and things that I could remember when we'd visit that would take place there. And I'm not sure if any of you are part of any group, but, you know, on Facebook, there's different groups that are kind of share the history of certain towns and places, and there's different groups I've kind of been with on that. And one of the groups from my home area, up the Barkeyville area, they've been showing pictures dating way back and memories. And there's a spring located on Route 8 just south of the town of Barkeyville. And many people would stop there and get water, and they had it. It was all fixed up nice with some walls and in an area where people could stop and get the water and get the drink. And I can remember, maybe all of you do, years and years back, where if you were traveling, you could stop at those places and get a drink of water if you wanted to. I remember many times stopping there and filling up milk jugs, because the water in our house wasn't very good. You know, it was an old well that strip mine had changed the quality of the water, and so if it wasn't treated and you got a drink of water from there, the water kind of looked like very weak tomato juice, and it tasted like iron. So we'd go to these springs like that. There were a couple near the house, and we'd fill up jugs of water for drinking water. And, you know, it was just good tasting water. And sadly, a truck one day wrecked and crashed into that and tore the whole place up, so there's no longer anything. I'm not sure if you can still get water there. The spring's still there, but I'm not sure if there's still the pipe that lets it drain out to get anything there or not. And now people are too scared to drink spring water anyway. But, well, David, he was thinking about home in this time when he's in the cave of Adullam and the fields where he tended sheep, and recalling certain things and thinking about, you know, what Bethlehem was like when the family would move around and talk with people. And he recalled the well where he would take the sheep when he was, you know, and draw water for them to drink, and then he would get a drink after a long day out in the fields walking with the sheep. And that water to him had a special memory and a sense of refreshment. And it was kind of heart-sickening to know that the Philistines, the enemy, had taken control of that area, that homestead. They had power over it. So at one point, he longs and he says, you know, oh, I wish I had a drink from that well in Bethlehem where I used to get water for the sheep and would drink that. Then he had three friends that were, if you read the chapter 23, you'll find that the different mighty men of David, and three men that seemed at different times in battle that performed almost supernatural feats. One of them had, in one battle, had killed 800 men by himself. You know, and you figure it's hand-to-hand combat, so to survive and to be that victorious. Well, they heard David's longing and desire and wish for water from that well, so together, the three of them chose to go to Bethlehem, fight back the Philistines, get water, and bring it to David. You know, that was an act of love and dedication for their leader, and it moved them to want to fulfill his wishes and his dreams. Now, Jesus said, you know, greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. Now, when I think of that, I usually picture, you know, jumping in front of the bullet during some kind of an episode. You know, there's some crisis, and so you're the one that dives in, you know, to protect somebody, and you know, your children, somebody, or it's like, you know, you sense that somebody's drowning, but you give up your life trying to save them. You know, some huge crisis that's happening immediately, and you react and you respond. But what these three people did, it was a deliberate, intentional choice, an act, to put their lives in jeopardy to get water for David, for his dreams. There wasn't a crisis going on. It wasn't like there was a bullet about to hit him. It wasn't like a car about to run over him. There was no specific immediate danger. They just chose, out of love, to put their own lives at risk, deliberately and intentionally, purposefully, because he desired a drink of water from that well. So they went, they fought back the Philistines, they got the water drawn from the well, they made their escape, and they get back to David with the water. However, David refused to drink it. You know what? When I read this, a lot of times I thought, I would be so angry. I went to all that effort and you won't drink this water. You know, don't you realize that, you know, we put our lives on the line for this, and now you got it and you're throwing it on the ground. But when you stop and you think about what David is saying, he's saying, I can't drink this, because that would say that I don't consider your lives worth much more to me than a drink of water. David responds to them in a sense of saying, I honor your life more than I honor my desires and drink from a well in Bethlehem. So David says, I can't drink this because it represents your very blood. And if I were to drink it, it would be to say, is I don't care if you live or you die. And I care so much for you that I will pour this out before the Lord. Something I long for and desire, I will pour that out before the Lord. Their lives, to him, he would give up any desire that he might have had that he could have partaken of because of them. So I want you to pause and to wonder, why would the birth of Christ be placed in Bethlehem? We know the story of redeeming love through Ruth, but isn't it also because it was around Bethlehem where people came to pour out their lives for someone they loved? And Jesus came to fight back the enemy on our behalf and to pour out his love for us, that we might drink from the water, from the well that never runs dry. And when we drink from it, we may never thirst again. He fought back the enemy that we might have that opportunity. And just as David poured out that water representing their lives on the ground, Jesus poured out his blood for us because of his great love for us. We know on that night when Jesus was betrayed, as he had supper with his friends, he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Just as we drink from that cup, we remember that this is the blood of Christ poured out for us. So as we consider Bethlehem as a place where friends offered their very lives for the love of their leader, I want you to think about Christ, born to this place, who would offer his very life for the love of his servants. I encourage you to consider that as we partake of communion. I invite you to consider what child this would be that would intentionally, deliberately give his life for you because of his love for you. As Christ laid down his life for you, may you give your life for him. And may you seek deliberate and intentional ways in which you might share that love with others throughout this world. May you go in the grace and the peace and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.